afternoon, everyone. My name is Kevin Gianni, founder of Renegade Health, and I'll be your host for the upcoming Rockathon. I am so thrilled to have this incredible event starting on October 19th. Before we start the event, I thought it would be awesome to get you some special guests to contribute to give you even more value than the Rockathon alone. So that's what we've done here. So be sure to grab a pen and piece of paper because you won't want to miss some of the great information revealed in this exciting interview. Today's special guest is one of the very few people who can actually say she helped found the modern day health movement. My guest today is Patricia Bragg, a long-term health crusader in the natural health movement. So Patricia, I want to welcome you to this call.
Thank you, Kevin. It's wonderful to be part of your great group. And I love being a health crusader. I love it, live it, and preach it. Health. And it's so important. You know, the Bragg Healthy Lifestyle is followed by millions worldwide. I've made over 30 trips around the world. And it's a lot of fun being a health crusader. And I teach at my crusades that every one of you should be a health crusader to make this a healthy world.
And what does it mean to, I mean, well, I kind of want to ask you this question right off the bat, so I'm going to. But what does it mean to be a health crusader?
Well, a health crusader means that you start with yourself first. You live a healthy life, balanced physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And the Bragg Healthy Lifestyle is simple as this, Kevin. You are what you eat and drink, breathe, think, say, and do. Now, what you eat and drink today is your fuel, and it's walking and talking tomorrow. You see, it's so important to keep the body. This is your human machine carrying you through life. Just think of that, from the bottom of your feet to the tip of your head. You are what you eat and drink. All right, you are what you eat and drink, but you are also a breathing machine, what you breathe. And that means no smoking, no pot, because that is smoke. Your lungs are not made for smoke. And that's why we believe in living in an area where as pure air as possible. I believe that if you're in a polluted area, that you should even have a air purifier for your car. And we've taken people like we took the founder of the Garden Burger, believe it or not, who had asthma so bad that every night he would stand before his window and pray that he would live through the night. When he was 15, someone gave him a book, The Miracle of Fasting, the Bragg book. He's changed his lifestyle in a month. Guess where his asthma was? Gone. He got over his asthma and his whole life changed. He threw out all the dead, devitalized foods, changed his lifestyle, and he founded the Garden Burger. He took millions of people off of the dead food hamburgers. What do you think of that, Kevin?
Well, it's absolutely incredible. I think one question that I want to ask you is, a lot of people in the health food movement or the health movement, they focus a lot on food. What do you think is the maybe percentage or the amount that, you know, food contributes to mood, and what about the percentage of the other things as well?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'll finish. You are what you eat and drink, what you breathe. Oxygen is the invisible staff of life. You know, Americans are basically shallow breathers. And so I have singers throughout the world, opera singers, and even in Italy, France, in America. I've been at the Met many times. I go backstage when they're putting their makeup on, their costumes, and they treat me wonderful. And because I keep them young and singing better, and they even gargle with the Bragg organic raw apple cider vinegar to keep their voice box clean. And also they follow our healthy lifestyle. But just listen to this. Oxygen is the invisible staff of life. I want them, from now on, all of you listening, I want you to become deep breathers. My father and I wrote a book called Superpower Breathing. And Bob Anderson, the leading stretching coach in the world, he teaches people to be champions, not only Olympic champions, but champions of life, with stretching and deep breathing. And he teaches people the Bragg superpower breathing. He said, Patricia, none of them would be Olympic champions if they didn't follow superpower breathing. So just remember, all of you out there, to breathe deep and in, and then let it all out slowly, and then breathe in again deep. And it's very important to train yourself to be a long, deep breather. Okay, you are what you eat, drink, breathe, and think. Now, think about this. You have a beautiful brain, your computer, your human computer. Man can't duplicate it. They've tried. But the brain is amazing. When you think you can go back when you were 3 years old, 5 years old, you can remember things that happened in school and things, and say, oh, the brain is so wonderful. Do it in a flash. And so you, each one of you right now, I want you to know that you are a miracle, an absolute miracle. And so that's why I want you to take care of this precious miracle that you have, the human body. Just think, it's gifted. You came from a little sperm. All right, you are what you eat, drink, breathe, think. Now remember, and what you say, your words are living. Remember, words can hurt. Oh, my. Before you speak, is it good? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Put it to the test. My daddy told me that when I was a young girl. He said, Patricia, never say mean things or dirty words that hurt people that are not necessary. Be kind and loving. And, you know, it's so important. Even animals don't like to be screamed at. So, you know, I have Siamese cats in Santa Barbara, California. And my cats, they're so loving and wonderful. But if I screamed at them, you can just see they just, they cringe. I would never do that. And I don't let even the gardener scream at them. So you are what you eat, drink, breathe, think, say, and the last is do. My golly, do you know that every one of you here have 640 muscles, and if you don't use them, you lose them. Now, as I'm talking to you all right now, guess what? I haven't stopped exercising. I'm doing my stretching. I haven't sat down once, and I'm stretching. And it feels so good right now. I'm doing my stretching walk, and I'm pointing my toe straight forward. And, you know, just remember your big toe, and each foot is the captain of that foot. That's very important. We were nutritionists to Dr. Scholl, the famous foot doctor, and he said, Patricia, you have the most perfect feet I've ever seen, and I don't have an ache of pain or a bunion or a corn, Kevin, and I appreciate my feet, and I take good care of them. You know, the woman that started reflexology, She came to my father's lectures as a young woman in Florida. And she was, I think, 17, and she said, Professor Bragg, my grandmother's feet, they hurt her so, and she just can hardly walk. They're like a cement. My father said, you soak her feet with a little vinegar in the hot pan, and guess what? Massage her feet, because at the end of each foot, you have all the nerve endings. And you know what? She started reflexology and zone therapy. And her nephew is now keeping it all going, and it's wonderful. You see, it's so important. So remember, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, you each one are a miracle. You take care of your feet. You take care of your 640 muscles. If you don't use them, you lose them. Now, you asked me if food is... What importance is food? It's very important. The name of our company is Live Food Products. Live foods make live people. Dead foods make dead people. We don't believe in anything. The best thing to do is go organic, don't panic. Because, listen, you don't want to be eating a lot of chemicals. You don't want to be drinking chemicals, and you don't want to be smoking chemicals. So just remember, I've never taken an aspirin. I don't need it, don't want it. People say, well, gosh, how can you get along without not taking an aspirin occasionally? What do you do when you get a headache? I said, I don't get headaches. And I said, if I ever did get a headache, I'd find out why I got a headache, because your body gives you signals. Now, if I've never taken a laxative, I don't need it, don't want it. But if I needed it, I know that I need more roughage, I need more salads, more apples, and things that would go through my colon. I need 8 glasses of purified water a day. I need things, in other words, remember, the 2 biggest sellers in drugstores today are laxatives and aspirin. All right, why? Because Americans are dehydrated, they're not drinking enough water, and that means pure water. That doesn't mean chemicalized water. You see, I do not believe in fluoride. Oh, my dear, they used to make rat poison. And read the Bragg book, The Shocking Truth About Water. And you can go online, Bragg.com, Bragg.com, and you can sign up and get free literature from us. And you will find out. I have a wonderful article that they would mail, and it, guess what? It tells you the shocking truth about fluoride. They are trying to put it in all the water systems throughout America. My father fought it for years. I'm fighting it. And guess what? The American Dental Association keeps coming back. Listen, we have more false teeth in America. We have more cavities, more fillings, and more teeth problems because the fluoride is not, that's a fallacy. It's not doing anything. It's even causing a lot of harm. It's dumbing the children of America. That's another subject. So just remember, you are what you eat and what you drink and what you put in your mouth. And so that means no fluoride toothpaste, please, and no fluoride water. But unfortunately, you don't know when you buy a commercial product or you eat in a restaurant, if they have fluoride water, if they're using it in some of the foods that they prepare, it's not good. Kevin, you see, you are the total sum of what you eat and what you drink, what you breathe, what you think, and what you do. Does that make sense to you, Kevin?
Of course it does. You probably couldn't have explained it better.
Well, this is what we teach. Now, I've been nutritionist to Clint Eastwood even before he went in the Army. And I've known Clint since he's a young man, but actually in high school. I knew his mother, his father. I have a very close association with Clint Eastwood and his whole family. And his wife, they have their little daughter, Ruth. And in fact, she said, Patricia, I've been using Bragg Liquid Aminos way before I even knew Clint Eastwood. Little did I know I'd be marrying Clint Eastwood, and he had an effect on his life. He just finished a new movie, and he's doing so well.
And how? He's old. I mean, he's an older guy.
My dear, Clint is, I think now he's 78.
Okay, and he looks amazing.
He's 6'4", tall, lanky, and he's wonderful. I've never heard a bad word out of his mouth. He doesn't smoke. He said that if my children smoked, I'd tan their AFFs and they wouldn't be able to sit down for a year. What do you think of that? You see, in other words, and guess what? Everything organic. Everything organic. He's very, very fussy. Very fussy, and it's wonderful. You should be what you put into your body because it affects you. Do you realize that more Americans, when they go abroad, they get sick, they throw up, they eat in restaurants, they get all sorts of chemicalized things and everything when they're eating out a lot of times, and they wonder why immediately get sick to the stomach and throw up. Well, listen, their stomach has more sense than they have. They didn't want the food. Now, when you get sick to your stomach, my father taught us that you drink 3 glasses of water. If you're in a restaurant, you get asked for a pitcher of water, go into the restroom, and throw it up. Because as soon as your stomach is notifying you that something's wrong, get it out. Now, just like you're in a house and you smell fire and something's wrong, you dial 911 and call the fire department that there's a fire starting. Well, your stomach lets you know when things are not right. Now, when you're constipated, you know that you're not putting enough roughage in. You need more raw things, more sprouts, more salads, fresh fruits. You need ample water to flush the fecal matter out. When you don't, it gets like cement, and you get constipated and hemorrhoids and problems. There's more cancer of the colon in America than any other country in the world. A lot of it's due to meat eating and that. And so I want you all to know raw is best. Raw is best. And the reason our company is Live Food Products. Remember, live foods make live people.
Hmm. Well, there's a whole bunch of questions that I have here. So let's get through some of them, particularly on what you just mentioned on constipation. I kind of want to move into fasting. And my first question is a very specific question. When you're doing types of fasting, sometimes the bowels slow down. Do you want them to be working as they normally would, or is it okay for them to slow down?
Well, now it's amazing. You know, you have your own plumbing. Do you realize that's why I want you each to know that you're a miracle? Just think, you own your own electrical, you have your own computer, you own your own lighting system, and the plumbing system is so very important. Now, before I do my fast, I usually drink ample water, and I usually on my fast day, I slow down the day before, and I chew my food very thoroughly every meal. Your teeth are for a reason. They're your choppers, just not to look pretty when you're smiling. Americans forget to chew their food. They forget their stomach has no teeth, and they just swish it around, and down it goes. And then they're stuffing more and more and more and more. I look in restaurants, and I see people eat too fast and chew very little. So what you need to do is prepare for a fast. You need to, the last day before you're going to fast, you eat lightly and maybe even have just liquids that day. And then if you want, you can have a little rice bran or a little oat bran, maybe one teaspoon in a glass of water or fresh juice, and you can have that the night before, all right? Or you can have some aloe gel or aloe juice. Now, that's amazing. Aloe juice and aloe gel and you can get it in veggie caps or you can get it in liquid. And you know what? It activates and cleanses the colon. It's amazing. And there's a lot of natural products that you can use for a colon cleanse. And but the thing is, basically, I do not believe in disturbing the colon by doing a lot of colonics and things like that, only if it's called for by a health practitioner to save you from, shall we say, extreme constipation. I believe that the colon will act beautifully on its own when you change over to healthy live foods and chew very thoroughly. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. And then when you go into a fast, I mean, what kind of fasting do you advocate the most? Is it something?
I like a water fast.
Okay.
I like a water fast. But a lot of the Hollywood stars, I start them off with a juice fast. And what I do, it's 2/3 juice, fresh, organic, and 1/3 purified or distilled water.
Okay.
Now, a lot of people say, but distilled water, is that dead water? I said, my dear. I said, do you realize that a large percentage of the world lives on rainwater? Rainwater from the heavens, and it's distilled by nature coming down from the heavens. And so in Australia at my farm, I have an 80-acre organic farm where I have 200 varieties of tropical fruits. What do you think of that? And everything is organic, and I'm completely off of the grid. I've had solar for 15 years, no problems, on the roof. And I also capture all my rainwater, and I'm in the tropics. I'm near Byron Bay. Byron Bay, and it's in the tropics, and it's wonderful. It's the organic headquarters of Australia, right? I'm about 1 hour below Surfer's Paradise. You can look it up on the map. Surfer's Paradise is like Waikiki.
Okay.
And I stay away from Surfer's Paradise because I stay away from crowds. And I stay away from a lot of traffic and a lot of cars. I'm basically a nature girl. I love nature. And I'm not a big city person. So I believe that it's very important that the water you drink is free of chemicals. Because you see, you get your wonderful organic minerals from the live foods you eat. You don't get in the water when you drink mineralized water that comes out of the ground. That's often inorganic minerals. In other words, they're not living minerals. You see, it's all, we go into that in our book, Shocking Truth About Water. It's a very simple, all of our books are basically, almost all of them are under $10. My father wanted everything reasonable, so affordable to everybody. Yeah. The written word, Kevin, never tires, can be with you night and day. And you can even get Bragg books as e-books if you want them right away, or even on Amazon.
And should everyone be doing water fasting, or how does that?
Well, I tell you what, I do very well on it. I have a little routine that I've followed for my really whole life. As a child growing up, we had one day a week fast, and that was wonderful. Oh, that was more time to play and do things. And you know, they'd call dinner, and see, oh no, we're playing, we're busy, you know. But see, on a fast day, you don't have that. You have more time to do the things you want to do and all. But the thing is, when you have your apple cider vinegar drink, you know what? You don't get as hungry, you see?
Oh, okay.
And so we always had the vinegar drink. We had a big glass jugs, you know, where you could put your glass under the spout, and we always had our vinegar drink available. And on fast days, I'd have, 3 to 5 of the vinegar drink and the rest water. But as I told you, when I first start some people into fasting, I give them the juice, 2/3 fresh, live, organic juices, and 1/3 water. The reason I got into telling you about the water coming down through the heavens is distilled by nature is because a lot of people think they have to have these sophisticated this water, that water. That doesn't bother me at all. I don't do that. In Australia, I capture the rainwater, and I don't have an ache or a pain, and I have no arthritis. I'm as limber as can be. I haven't stopped exercising since I started talking to you. What do you think of that?
I think it's incredible.
Yeah, and I fast every Monday and the first 3 days of every month.
Okay. So.
And I've done it religiously, and it's not punishment to me. I look forward to it. I took one of the heads of AOL, mm-hmm. and he had health problems and all, and guess what? He said now his fasting days are some of his happiest days. He's better in everything he does, even a better father. since he started fasting, he's put it in practice for his five children and his wife do it. And, you know, it's wonderful. Once you get in the habit, you realize that you are in control of your life. You see, people think, oh, gee, 3 meals a day, I've got to eat it, this, that. Oh, my golly, that's not true. You see, do you know that animals, many of them hibernate?
Yeah.
Hibernate, and you know when they come out of a hibernation, they're even more youthful. And look at babies. If babies don't want to eat, they'll spit it out at you. They have more natural sense. You see, but then you get them older, and then you force them to eat. Oh, you have to eat, little Charlie. Now it's, you have to eat. Now you eat this, and then the mother starts spooning the food to them and forcing it on them. So just remember, fasting since the beginning of time is followed by religions all over the world as a time of purification, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It helps balance your life. And so my father said that fasting was one of the keys for his keeping youthful. And now our book, The Miracle of Fasting, proven throughout history for physical, mental, and spiritual rejuvenation. Now, Priscillius was the 15th century physician. He was father of body chemistry, Priscillius. And he said, fasting is the greatest remedy the physician within. Now, look at that. See, within your body. So, you know, when you fast one day a week, that's all. Just think what happens. You have 70 to 100 trillion cells in your body. This is what the scientists have come up with. 70 to 100 trillion cells in your body. Now, when you fast, these cells don't have to be busy to chew, to masticate, and to distribute what you're eating. In other words, what they don't want, they pass out through the fecal matter, through your colon. And all of a sudden, when you're not eating, the body workers say, wow, now we can clean house. You see, Kevin?
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. It's natural. Are you understanding, Kevin?
I'm following it.
Well, now see, Kevin, see, that's what fasting does. It gives your body workers, your 70 to 100 trillion cells, time to clean house. Your body workers. And it's amazing. We have people that, sometimes they get a little sick, maybe on the end of the first day of fast, and they'll throw up like a cup of mucus that's been lodged in their stomach. We have people, all of a sudden, they'll get a headache because maybe they're addicted to coffee or something else, and all of a sudden they want that coffee. Coffee, caffeine, is a toxic drug. I've never had one cup of coffee in my whole life. And I was at a health convention about 4 years ago, and someone walking along, someone wanted me to try this, and they gave me something, and I walked away with some of my friends down the aisle, and I started shaking.
Really?
And my friends had to hold me. They said, "What's wrong, Patricia?" I said, "I don't know. This is terrible." They brought me back where I had a sample of something, and they said, "Look at Patricia. She can't stop shaking." And they said, "Patricia, have you ever had coffee?" I said, "Never." "Oh, Patricia, our product has caffeine.
Oh,
you're getting a caffeine reaction." Now, what do you think of that?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and so that's what happened. So just remember, you out there, clean up your life. Before you put it in your mouth, is it going to bring you health or sickness or distress? Now, when you get a headache, when you get constipated, you get sick in your stomach, if you have a soreness in your shoulder, hey, how's your body going to relate and talk to you? That's how it talks to you. It says, hey, buddy, I want you to take care of me. I want you to take care of me. I'm having troubles in eliminating this fecal matter out of your colon. It's impacted. And you know what? All of a sudden, when you tap more water, more live foods, kiss salads and fresh fruits, go organic, don't panic, and the sprouts and the live foods, guess what? You start having better elimination, and you know what? Your colon gets happier and healthier. Now, if you have extreme constipation, then you do need some maybe, shall we say, colonics, and they can give you a little chlorophyll at the end of the colonic, and you have it what they call a retention. You keep it in for maybe 5-10 minutes, and that is wonderful. And you can start having some aloe juice and aloe gel, too, and have that on a daily basis for a while. And what you do, you clean up your colon, and you clean up your stomach. And also exercise is important. When you're fasting, you can get out and do your walking. I haven't stopped exercising since I've talking to you. And right now, I'm doing my power walking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm swinging my arms and lifting my chest up. I've never worn a bra. My father told me when I started developing, he said, Patricia, I never want you to wear a bra. And there's a book written, it's called Dress to Kill by Sidney Singer, the scientist. And he lives in Hawaii. And he did a study in the book Dress to Kill on nurses that wore wired bras that got breast cancer. And see, it impedes the circulation. Put your hand, gals, right now, underneath your bust, firm and very tight. And you know what? See, that's what a wired bra does, Kevin. It cuts off the circulation. And you do that for years, and what happens, disease, distress starts. And that's what happens. In the book, Dress to Kill, in other words, women are dressing, and it's killing a lot of them. Huh. Breast cancer is one of the number one killers in women today. And I've never worn a bra. I wear a little chemise. Right now, I have my bathing suit on. After I finish talking with all of you, I will go swimming in the saltwater ocean here in La Jolla, where I'm staying with my wonderful friend, David Carmos, who I met in Boston over, I think it was maybe 40 years ago.
Hmm.
And so I love swimming. Swimming is one of the finest exercises, but walking is still the king of exercise. King of exercise. And so what I want you all to realize, you are what you eat and drink, what you breathe, think, say, and do. So remember, it's up to you. Whatever you're going to be in life, it's up to you. Your health is your wealth. And I want each one of you to be your own health captain. My father, Paul Bragg, was the originator of health food stores, started the health movements, founded the National Dietary Foods Association, and all those groups, because he realized there's strength in unity. It's just like all of you, you're getting together and listening to this talk. Each one of you can make a difference in your community, in your life, your family's life, and everybody you meet. My father, in his travels all over the world, he started the first health food store, named it Health Food Store. And then, guess what? He went off and lectured all over. He went to Boston. He started the Rosenbergs, and their first, they had a little mom and pop a grocery store. And Dad said, who wants to open the first health food store in Massachusetts? It'll start right here in Boston, and tomorrow we will have a health food store. And guess what? Dad would say in the lecture the night before, he said, who has a little retail operation right in Boston here, but you need something that you can have room for some more shelves, and I'll bring a carpenter tomorrow. We'll put the shelves up, And guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, we will have a health food store in Boston. Well, Dad would ask, raise your hands. Who has some sort of a retail operation in Boston? Maybe in every lecture of 1, 2, 3,000 people, maybe 10 people would raise their hands. And so Dad says, well, come backstage, and my assistant will take your name and address, and I'll be there tomorrow morning. They'd take their list, and Dad would go out the next morning and go to one after another, and they would poll and see which would be the best location, good for parking and all that. And guess what? That night, they'd put on the blackboard Boston health food store or whatever they would have, the name they chose, and Dad would put it on the blackboard. And the next day, the students that were at the lecture, they go and wipe the things off the shelf. They were gone in a flash. And my father put the Bragg Health Foods. We had 365 health foods. We had the first 7-grain cereals, the first herbal teas. And in the old days, Kevin, guess what? They didn't even have honey sold. The only people that had honey, if you're driving along on a country road and a farmer had some bees, he'd put his honey out on the side with his fruits and everything. There it was, honey for sale. Dad introduced honey, and it was called Bragg Bee Ripened Honey, raw honey. And so they put all these natural things up on the shelves, and Dad would give it to them on consignment. And it was the honor, it was a handshake. And that's how the Rosenbergs got started. In the early days, the Rosenberg Little Mama Papa Grocery Store later became Nature Food Centers. Mm-hmm. And they had, oh gosh, maybe 500 stores throughout the East Coast of America. And if anybody read Prevention Magazine or Organic Magazine, you would see their big ads. And then he did the same thing. He went to Pittsburgh, and he said, who wants to open the first health food store in Pennsylvania? And people would raise their hands, and they'd come backstage, and Dad the next morning would go to the locations. And he found a little Laxum yogurt shop, and they were from Armenia. Mm-hmm. Could hardly speak a word of English, but they had two sons, David and his younger brother, and they were like 7 and 9. And so Dad chose that little Armenian deli yogurt shop, and that later became General Nutrition Centers. And so one thing after another, he was lecturing in Pennsylvania another time, and a young man came backstage. He said, Professor Bragg, he said, I want to be like you. After every lecture, my father said, you've heard the message of health. He said, I want each one of you now to be health crusaders. Start with yourself first, then your family and friends. Let's be health crusaders to save the world, to make them healthy and happy and have long, fruitful, wonderful lives, to make this a healthy, peaceful world. And this young man came backstage. He said, oh, Professor Bragg, I want to be like you. He said, I'm so bored. My father said, why are you bored, young man? He said, I'm making so much money. I said, oh, come on now, what do you do? He said, I'm an inventor. He said, I have over 100 inventions. The dimmer switch is mine. And every day, he said, I get royalty checks from my different inventions, but I want to be like you. And Dad says, well, what are your hobbies? And he said, I like gardening. And Dad said, have you ever heard about organic gardening? I think so. Dad said, young man, when I get back to California, I want you to come back and I'm going to teach you organic gardening. And then you can carry the banner of organic gardening, and that was the beginning of Organic Gardening Magazine by Rodale.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that was over probably 70 years ago, 65, 70 years ago. He started Prevention and Organic Gardening. And so, you see, look at Jack LaLanne. He was a puny, sickly 15 years old, and he didn't even want to go to the Bragg Lecture. Oh, no. The neighbor lady where he lived out of Oakland there came in, "Oh, Mrs. LaLanne, Jack's been out of school a year now, and he's so sickly. Oh, there's this health man in Oakland tonight at the Ebell Club. We want to take you in, Mrs. LaLanne." Jack said, "I won't go. I won't go." And the neighbor lady said, "Oh, yes, Jack, you need to go." "I won't go." He said, "No doctors help me. And look at me. Here I'm so weak, I have to have a back brace to sit up straight." And he said, "No, I'm just too sick to go." And the neighbor lady said, "I won't take that, Mrs. LaLanne. I want you and Jack to go." And so Jack ended up going to the lecture that night in Oakland, California. There was no room in the front of the truck for Jack. So they bundled him up in some blankets and put him on the back of an open truck. And he said he bumped all the way into Oakland, and said with every bump, he said he got sore in his skinny, pimpled body. And he said, "Oh," he said, "he was so mad at his mother and everything." And they got into Oakland to the Ebell Club, and my golly, they opened the door to where the hall was, and they were greeted by a fire marshal, and there was a big commotion. He said, "No one's allowed. You can't come in. It's too crowded. We had a fire last week and here in Oakland. Some people were killed. We can't let you in." And the neighbor lady said, "Oh, this boy is so sick, he needs a lecture." And my father saw the commotion in the back of the hall, and he said, "Bring those people up on the stage." He said, "I have chairs in my dressing room." And my golly, Jack LaLanne was so shy, and he was so mad. He said, "To think on the stage." And he said his knees were shaking so hard when the usher walked them down the aisle to the stage, and they walked up the stairs on the side of the stage, and he sat them right on the stage. Oh, my gosh. Jack said it was so embarrassing. And he said, "I know they see my pimples and all the things that are wrong, and I can't. It's hard sitting with a brace on and everything." And he, for the first 20 minutes, he never listened to a word my father said. He was mesmerized by looking at the audience. He thought, "My gosh, they're looking at me. Oh, this is so terrible. I didn't want to come." And then all of a sudden he heard my father pound on the table. He said, "Down with garbage and dead food." He said, "They're killers. They're killers. The Cokes and the hot dogs and the greasy fried hamburgers and the Hershey bars." And all of a sudden Jack LaLanne heard all of that. And he forgot the audience. He started looking at my father, Paul Bragg. He said, "Oh, my. My mother's been killing me. Oh, she gives me Hershey bars and hot dogs and hamburgers and Cokes." He said, "White bread and white sugar. Oh, my gosh." He forgot the audience totally. And he saw my father, who was healthy and fit and athletic, and my dad did a cartwheel and walked on his hands on the stage. He said, "Oh, I want to be like this man." Oh, my gosh. He completely forgot the audience, and he said, "This Paul Bragg, I want to be like him." And so my father saw that he was getting that young man's attention. And he really hammered it in how young people get on the wrong track if they don't exercise and they don't eat right. And he really, really hammered it in. And Jacqueline, afterwards, he told his mother, he said, "I want to go talk to him." And the mother saw the assistant there. The dressing room was on the other side of the stage where they were sitting. And so the mother went over there and said, "Is it by chance that my son, Jack LaLanne, could talk to Professor Bragg?" And the assistant said, "Of course he can." And that was the beginning of the friendship between Jack LaLanne and my father, Paul Bragg. And Jack became a tower of strength. He just completely became a vegetarian. And he was a dynamo. I just sang happy birth to him, Kevin, and he's 94 years young. What do you think of that? September 26th.
That's amazing.
Isn't that something? And he is ageless. And my father taught him the power of weight training. It's wonderful. Even in Rome, and the athletes all over the world use weight training. They used to use in the old days, even they'd go and lift rocks, and they'd do exercise against trees and go back and forth. I haven't stopped since I've been talking. No, I haven't stopped exercising. I haven't stopped. And, you know, I feel ageless. People ask me my age, and I say, "Can you keep a secret?" And they said, "Oh, yes." And I said, "Well, so can I." Okay? And see, now when we give at our Bragg Crusades, we have a shoebox with a slit in it. And I tell everybody to, the night before, when you come, I said, "I want you to write your age and your first name on a little piece of paper and put it in the shoebox when you come in, and we're going to bury your age," and you forget it. You're ageless, you see? Because all of a sudden people think, "Oh, my gosh, I'm getting older. Oh, I'm going to get decrepit." No. We kept Conrad Hilton. Guess what? We took him out of the hospital. The founder of Hilton Hotels, at 80, he was dying in the hospital. And they said he had 5 days to live, but they didn't tell him, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? His daughter-in-law, Trish Hilton, called us up and said, "I'm reading your book, Miracle of Fasting, to my father-in-law. And he said yesterday, he said, I want to be like Paul Bragg. He said, is it too late for me?" And you say in the book, long as you're breathing and you have your mind, you can change over to healthy lifestyle living. And so would you come and see him? And we were there from Burbank to Beverly Hills. We were there in 25 minutes. And guess what? Dad leaned down. Conrad Hilton looked almost comatose. They were giving him a sugar IV drip. No exercise, no nothing, just letting him just wilt away in bed. And Dad leaned down. "Conrad, Conrad, it's Paul Bragg. Conrad, I'm here to visit you." "Oh, I want to be like you, Paul Bragg." And my father said, "Well, let's get busy then." "Oh, I want to. I want to." And so what they did, they called his three doctors. And so Dad said that we get real busy. We wanted him to have physiotherapy, hands-on, massage, circulation, three times a day. And in the IV drip, we wanted him to have vitamins, minerals, and trace minerals. Okay? And guess where we had him in 5 days? Out of the hospital. And he had 20 more years of life. And at 88, he remarried. At 88, he remarried. He said one of the worst mistakes he ever made is when he married Zaza Gabor when she was 19. And he said that marriage lasted a year. But anyway, he was amazing. And he put a Bible in every hotel room of his in the world. And a lot of people, he said, Patricia, that would come in would be despondent. See, a Bible is like a book of life. And it gives you health teachings. It's amazing. You can find some of the passages are wonderful. In 3 John 2, where the Lord said, Dear friend, I want you to prosper in good health as well as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. In Genesis 6:3, guess what? The Lord says, May your years be numbered 120. And this is what we say in the fasting book. Oh, who's going to tell us we can only live to 100? Why not 120? You see, so all of you listening, why not? Change your thinking. You change your life. It's up to you. If it's to be, it's up to you. If it's to be, it's up to you. I say that again so it'll put it in your mind. Your mind, your computer. I want each one of you to know that you are a miracle. We have people like Donald Trump, and he said he can enjoy his billions. He's taking care of his health. And Steve Jobs has been reading the Bragg book since high school. He said it blew his mind away. He said, my, oh, my. He said, I gave up white bread, white sugar, bad habits of living. You see, we have people all walks of life. Been nutritionist to Clint Eastwood for, gosh, over 55 years. Have Tom Hanks, Tom Selleck. I have the latest new, she's top of the charts. And she, Katy Perry is going to be on the Jay Leno show. She just had lunch with the president of France and his wife. She made a tour of Europe. And then she's off to Japan and Australia. Katy Perry, mother and father, are evangelists. And they've been Bragg followers for years. And Katy has her vinegar drink, Bragg Raw Organic, unfiltered, apple cider vinegar. I have the drink 3 times a day. 1 to 2 teaspoons of the vinegar in 8 ounces of water. And if you want, you can have a little stevia herb powder in it, or a few drops, or raw honey if you want it sweetened. And I tell you, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, 400 B.C., do you know what he did? He gave apple cider vinegar as a detoxer, cleanser, and healer. And if you have dandruff, you put it on your hair an hour before you shampoo your hair. And what it does, it balances the acid-alkaline balance. Dr. Gabriel Cousins, very famous in the health movement, he gives it to his patients that have GERDs and indigestion problems. You sip a little just before you start your meal, maybe like a fourth of a teaspoon. And you know what it does? It starts promoting a good digestion. And if you have athlete's foot or insect bites or anything like that, you soak your toes in it to get rid of fungus and athlete's foot, dilute it. It's amazing. We took Jerome Hines, who sang 6'7" with a Met for over 45 years, and Jerome Hines, he was riddled with arthritis. And he gave up singing with the Met. Someone gave him the Bragg Apple Cider Vinegar book, the Miracles of Apple Cider Vinegar book. We sold now 8 million copies just in America, millions worldwide. And guess what? He got rid of his arthritis. Now, arthritis are crystals in the joints. And, you know, when you put a vinegar in your dishwasher or you clean your windows with vinegar, it takes the sludge off the windows. Well, what apple cider vinegar does, it takes the sludge out of the body. It's a cleanser, a purifier. And I have the drink 3 times a day, especially when I'm fasting. Now, I haven't stopped walking and I haven't stopped exercising. How are we doing, Kevin?
We're doing amazing. This has just been This has been so much fun to hear these stories. And
well, it is. See, you know, Jesus talked in parables. And see, we can learn from the life experiences of others. David Wolf is a wonderful crusader, and he's doing a wonderful job. I was with David Wolf yesterday, and I admire that young man and all that he does. And I've made over 30 trips around the world crusading, and David Wolf is climbing up there too, you know, on the go all the time. I used to travel 8 to 9 months out of every year, and I'm not as active going into cities. You know, we used to be in maybe 2 cities a week, and I find now that I can do a lot with radio and television.
Yeah.
And so they can go to brag.com, and they can look at our website and see what I'm doing. I'll be in New Zealand. I was in New Zealand last Christmas. I'll be in New Zealand this Christmas. And I usually, when I'm in New Zealand, I'm on the radio every day. There's many talk shows, and I pop through with all of them. And it's kind of fun, Kevin. People call up with the darndest question, but it's amazing how I usually have the answers. You see? And so just remember, walking is the king of exercise. When you walk, I want them to swing their arms and lift their chest up. And I want women to think about getting chemises, cut the wires out of their bras, and use just, if they're going to wear a bra, just wear a soft bra. I'm nutritionist to Jane Russell, and she was one of the big busted early Hollywood stars. Jane Russell, she was made that movie famous Howard Hughes put out called The Outlaw.
Yep.
And I was just recently with Jane Russell. She's now, I think Jane's 84 years young. She has beautiful posture. I think you can go onto my website maybe someplace and see my picture with Jane. She comes down. She lives up near Jacqua Lane. And she comes down and stays on my organic farm, oh, a couple of times a year, and visits. And my staff, my healthy staff, they always love having Jane there. She'll sit down and play the piano for us and sing. And she's just like when she made her early movies. She's outgoing and lovely and pretty, too. And so your health is your wealth. It's amazing, all of you out there, when you get on this Raw is Best. Remember, the Bragg Healthy Lifestyle, I must tell you that 80% of our diet is raw. And I feel best on Raw, and that's the way that our company is, Live Food Products, because live foods make live people, and just remember that. So before you put something in your mouth, ask, is it going to bring health or sickness? All right, it's simple as that. And so I live in Hawaii part-time, in Australia part-time at my farm, and I have a macadamia nut farm in Maui. I saved the macadamia nut trees. They were going to chop them down. And I had 8 minutes to decide whether I could buy this farm in Maui.
Mm-hmm.
And so, by golly, I said, how long do I have to decide to make this decision? I got a long distance call from Maui to California. And they said, Patricia, unfortunately, we have a big developer that is in line, and if the people that were buying it couldn't come up with the money, and so we would like to put you in where they are, but if not, the developer is going to get it. He's going to chop down 40,000 macadamia nut trees. Oh, I said, that would be criminal. They said the trees are only 13 years old. And they're already over 20 feet high. I said, oh, that would be terrible. And they said, so how much time do I have to make this decision? Here I was in California. That was the amount. They said 8 minutes. And I said, oh, my golly. So I called my trust attorney and my bank. And they said, Patricia, is it something you really feel imperative? I said, oh, yes. 40,000 trees and macadamia nuts are so wonderful. I think it would be just criminal. And they said, well, go ahead. And so I bought that farm about, I think maybe it was 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
12 years ago. And it's right near Paul Winter, the Gardenburger founder's man's home.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just beautiful, looking over the ocean, and the weather's so perfect, and the trees are so beautiful, and they always get loaded with nuts, and they're certified organic, and they're bought by the big outfit on the island of Hawaii, and they've contracted with me. 6 months after I bought it, the head of this big macadamia outfit called me and asked me if they could come to see my farm, and I said, yes, you may. So they flew over, three men, and I took them for a ride with the farm manager around the farm, and oh, the trees were so, the leaves were beautiful, long blossoms. The blossoms, or some of them are like over a foot long, with maybe 30 little blossoms on the long stem. And so I said, well, now that you're seeing my farm, my friend Bill Galt, the founder of the Good Earth restaurant chain, was visiting me in Maui. And I said, we would like to see your farms on the island of Hawaii near Kona. So may we fly over? And they said, yes. So we flew over the next day, and they took us through their orchards, and their trees, the leaves were kind of yellowish. It didn't look vibrant at all. And I said, what's wrong with your trees? And he said, well, we just don't get enough rain here, enough water. And he said, our trees are not doing well. Oh, I said, so that's why you want to get my nuts. He said, yes, that's why we need your nuts. And so that's what I did. So when you have your macadamia nuts on an airplane or wherever, there you might be chewing into the brag nuts.
Well, that's good news. That's very assuring for some people.
yes, so certainly. But anyway, I have enjoyment, and how I bought my farm. My father years ago had an office in Sydney and one in Auckland, one in London, and we'd make the circle. You know, we'd start off in California, our headquarters, and make the circle to New Zealand and Australia and go around the world and end up in London. Well, when Dad first opened his office in Sydney, there was one health food store run by the Seventh-day Adventist Church called the Sanitarium Health Food Store. And they had one in Melbourne, one in Brisbane, and they had one in Adelaide. They had one in all the major cities of Australia. There's not too many, about seven. And so Dad put a lecture on at the Sydney Town Hall, the Melbourne Town Hall, and we packed the halls, packed them. They were always free. Packed them. It said, Free Health Crusade by Paul Bragg, Health Crusader. And so, by golly, the people would just pour in. And, you know, health took off in Australia and New Zealand and England. And now there's probably 30 health food stores in Sydney, the largest city in Australia. In Melbourne, there's probably 20. They're just spread up all over. And the young man who was in high school heard my father and I lecture in Sydney Town Hall 35 years ago, now has the biggest chain of health food stores in all Australia. He said, if I hadn't sat in that Health Crusade lecture by your dad that night, he said, I would have never got in the health food business. I wouldn't have known a thing about it. But I got a job part-time after school in a health food store. And he said, I learned all the workings of it and started studying the Bragg health books. And that's where I am today. I'm so thankful to you and your dad. And then Sandy Gooch pioneered health out here in California. The Sandy Gooch's health food stores pioneered. And she was a young girl and didn't know exactly what she wanted to do with her life. And she sat in the National Health Federation lecture one afternoon. My father used to lecture for them all over the United States. And she was sitting there in Anaheim, California, listening. And all of a sudden, my father ended the lecture. He said, "I want you all to be health crusaders. Start with yourself first, your family, your friends, and then everybody you meet. Let's make this a healthy world filled with peace and joy and love and not sickness and meanness." And Sandy Gooch said, "The lights went on and I knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to be like Paul Bragg, a health crusader, just like Jack LaLanne did and Mr. Rodell and the Shakarians in Pittsburgh started then General Nutrition Centers." But guess what? See, what about you out there listening right now? You see, start with yourself, your family, your friends, in any way that you can make this a more healthy, peaceful world. Start with yourself first. Get the thorns out of your side, things that are not right in your diet, in your lifestyle, negative thoughts. Remember, you are what you think. You are what you say. Is it good? Is it kind? Is it necessary? So just clean up your lives. And life is wonderful to be enjoyed. Look at Conrad Hilton. He went dying in the hospital 80 to almost 100. He and his bride, Frances, who he married at 88, had almost 12 beautiful years together. They went dancing two nights a week. We were nutritionists to wonderful Arthur Murray and Catherine, who taught America how to dance in the Arthur Murray early television show. And he had the early Arthur Murray dance studios throughout America. And believe it or not, Arthur Murray lived to be up in years, almost 100. Catherine lived to be his little wife, who was my size, 5 feet tall. She lived to be up in years. And guess what they did? Practically 3 to 4 mornings a week, they played tennis. They lived right near me in Hawaii, and their daughter married Dr. Heimlich, Dr. Henry Heimlich, the Heimlich movement, which saves millions of lives, people that are choking. Have you heard of that, the Heimlich movement?
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, Dr. Heimlich and his wife, Jane, are big Bragg followers. And Jane is one of the twin daughters of Catherine and Arthur Murray. And she married Dr. Heimlich, and they're my very dear friends. And so we have people all walks of life. Dr. C. Everett Koop, the retired Surgeon General with a beard, he said, "Patricia, your father, Paul Bragg, did more for the health of America than any one man I know of. Your books are life-changing for super health."
That's amazing.
How's that?
Well, that is, I'm sitting here just enjoying every single, hanging on to every word that you say.
You see, your health is your wealth. You know, you can have all the money in the world. Just while Donald Trump said our healthy lifestyle is helping him enjoy his billions. Without your health, you're really nothing. So what those of you need to improve your health, you can start today. Just like Conrad Hilton went from dying in the hospital to super health. He started light jogging. Now, what do you do? He had physiotherapy, deep breathing, healthy lifestyle in every way. He went back to his office 5 days a week from 8 to 12. He'd come home and have his beautiful live foods lunch, and on one day a week he would fast, and he loved walking and liked jogging. He even had a rain suit made so he could jog and walk in the rain around the Bel Air Estate, California. So just remember, there's no excuse. Don't be lazy. Don't be a couch potato. Okay, those of you in the wintertime, what you can do, you can get a rebounder, a bouncer, or you can just get up and bounce on your living room carpet. And guess what? With every bounce, guess what they're getting, Kevin? They're trillions of cells. Remember I said there's 70 to 100 trillion cells in every average body. Seeing I'm a miniature size, 5 feet tall, I probably have a little less. And guess what? I weigh about 102 pounds, and my weight hardly ever varies. I've never had a weight problem because I fast, I cleanse my body, and I'm wise. I am the health captain of my life and my body. And so, but with every little jog, your 70 trillion cells, what are they getting? They're getting a massage. And they're clapping their hands because circulation is one of the keys to good health. Circulation is important. I don't want any of you to sit with your legs crossed from now on. It said that doctors, attorneys, businessmen, when they have a heart attack at their office, many of them are sitting with their legs crossed. Because what happens, you have a major artery in back of every knee feeding to the bottoms of your feet to the tips of your toes. And what this does, it puts a hamper on your heart, and it burdens it. And so your heart, your major pump, just think, it pumps the river of life. Every second of your life, your life blood. And so you have four extra pumps. You have two arms and two legs. And that's why walking is the king of exercise, and I don't want you in anywhere to wear tight belts, tight bras, tight watches. I make people remove tight watches, get a light, maybe a canvas band or something very light, and I prefer you take your watches off when you can. Only wear them when you need to. Put your watch on your desk, and you can look at the time that way. Because I took one of the men that ran the biggest ranch in Santa Barbara County, and they didn't know what was wrong with his left hand. The swelling wouldn't go down. It was throbbing. He couldn't think, couldn't work. They did every test possible, and his wife called up and asked me, Patricia, would you come over? John is miserable, and the doctors can't find out what's wrong with his left hand. And I came over that evening, and I looked at that hand. It's 6'4", handsome man. Every finger was swollen. Oh, it's throbbing. And I tried to touch his hand. Oh, Patricia, don't touch it, please. It hurts so. And he had it up on a velvet pillow. But he had a big gold watch on. And I said, John, how long have you been wearing that watch? And his wife said, oh, my gosh, he won't even take it off when he sleeps. He only takes it off in the shower, swimming, or in the bath. And I said, John, would you take that watch off, please, a minute? I might be wrong, but seeing you've been to five doctors and no one can find out, can you just let me do a little test? He took the watch off, big gold watch, must have weighed 3 pounds. And the big oval circle there had lain right on the major artery going to his fingers, just think, for 30 years. Okay? And you know what? The fingers gave up. The fingers gave up. It was putting a burden on his heart and his artery, and they said, enough is enough. And so, John, you asked for my advice. Your wife asked me to come over here. I might be wrong, but let me try. So I said to his wife, get a pan of hot water, a pan of cold water with ice cubes in it. John, I'm going to have you put your hand up, keep it up, put your elbow on the table here and keep your hand straight up. And I'm going to have you, before we start, ask every finger very gently, you touch it, and ask for forgiveness for what you've done to your hand. You did it. I believe you did it. But you'll soon know whether I'm right or wrong, because every finger was blown up with fluids that they couldn't discharge, lack of circulation. So what happened, they put it in the hot, and then I'd have him put his elbow up on the table again, and then massage each very lightly, just touch it very lightly, get the circulation back into the wrist, and then I had him put his hand in ice-cold water, and then bring his hand up again and massage each finger very lightly. And then he did that about five times hot, five times cold. And then I left. I said, John, I tell you, you can do it again in about an hour. But keep your hand up and let it drain. And I said, you may call me before you go to bed at 9:30. He called me. He said, Patricia, a miracle has happened. The swelling's halfway gone. He said, it's not throbbing. I said, John, just give thanks. Put your hand around with pillows and keep it up all night. Just prop it up so it can even drain more. Call me in the morning. He called me in the morning. He said, Patricia, my hand's like it used to be. He was head of a big farm and ranch there, the Hollister Ranch. And he said, it's a miracle, a miracle. Well, I said, dear, just thank the Creator God for common sense he's given me. Circulation is important, John. You've impeded the circulation to your hand, and you did it. So just ask for forgiveness, and why don't you put that watch on your belt or put it around your neck. Okay, there's the story. And I did the same thing with a man who was the CEO of the biggest banking chain in Hawaii. He was going to have two-thirds of his stomach removed because of stomach ulcers. And his wife, again, called the emergency and said, my husband is crying. And Wednesday they're going to remove two-thirds of his stomach because they can't, in 20 years, get rid of his stomach ulcers. So she brought him over, and he sat down on my couch there at Diamond Head in Hawaii and chewing gum. I said, hey, what's this chewing gum? She said, oh, he's been doing it for years. Years, three packs a day. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Your teeth are your choppers. They're meant for food, not chewing gum. You know, old man Wrigley was a friend of my father's, and he said, I like you, but I don't like what you did to the American people, getting them chewing gum. If they need mouth fresheners, you can have some mint and some natural things or chew on an apple. Okay, guess what? I said, you know, I might be wrong. I want you to put this gum out right now. And I want your wife, she can call the doctor and say that you have the flu or a cold because you can't do major surgery if you have any impairment with breathing. And so you tell them you will call as soon as you're over the flu or tell them the cold, whatever you have, you'll call them and let them know. So they did that. And then I said, give me 2 weeks. Give me 2 weeks. You can always have your two-thirds of your stomach out, but we can't put it back. And I said, just give me 2 weeks. I'm going to give you aloe gel, aloe juice, CoQ10. I'm going to take you off of coffee, China tea, white sugar, white bread, all the refined foods. I'm going to give you live foods. And guess what happened? Within 3 days, the pain started ceasing. And in 1 week, he had no pain. What do you think of that? Stomach ulcers. You see? And in 2 weeks, he said, Patricia, you're a miracle worker. What can I do for you? I said, listen, just keep me in prayer that I can continue to be a health crusader like my father was for all those years, because I love it, live it, and preach it. And so simple things. Chew your food well. Remember, your stomach has no teeth, and you don't need to chew gum.
Well, we're running out of time here.
Yeah, I tell simple stories. Now, sleeping. I want them to sleep in a room that has good circulation, good air. I don't want them to be mummies in tombs. See, most office buildings are what I call dead tombs. They have no air circulating. They have maybe secondhand air coming through an air filter that is maybe toxic. I believe in fresh air, and I believe in air purifiers that are proper and healthy and good. And I don't believe in a lot of electricity. I don't believe in having, when you sleep at night, I would not have an electric clock or electric radio. I would unplug everything near your head, and you can get one of these little emitters, and you can check the frequencies. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yes, I do.
One of the little meters, and you can check them. You can get them at Radio Shack or someplace for $30. And I've had people make a big difference just by checking those, the electrical wires around where they sleep. Now, remember, I've been exercising the whole time that I'm talking to you, and I'm not out of breath. See, I train triathletes. I wrote the Triathlon Training Manual book about 23 years ago, and I helped train Dave Scott's one. 4 Ironman triathlons. He's a vegetarian. Dave Scott. And he called my book the Bible of Health and Fitness. And so my dad was the original triathlete. Swim, bike, and run. See, you've got 640 muscles. Swimming is wonderful. It uses, but don't swim in chlorinated water. And if you have a hot jacuzzi, use the ozonator for purifying the water, not chlorine. And so I think I've told you practically everything. No bras for women. Get a chemise or cut out the wires in your bras. Don't sit with your legs crossed. We're not meant to sit like a pretzel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to impede the circulation. Lift your chest up. I'm 5 feet tall. Wouldn't that be something if I slumped over and make me like 4'7"? No, I stretch up. And Jack Lord of Hawaii 5-0, we were his nutritionist, for Daddy was his nutritionist for about 55 years. And he told me several years ago, he said, Patricia, you wear a hat and you'll feel 6 feet tall. He said, I always wear a hat and I feel 10 feet tall. He always, in his Hawaii 5-0, wore a hat. And guess what? I wear a hat and I love hats. I almost sleep in my hat. And when I forget my hat, to wear a hat, sometimes it's home crying. You forgot me. And I said, oh, well, I'll get you soon. And so this is it. We all have, I love flowers. At my farm in Santa Barbara, I have 650 blooming roses. And Robert, who's head of the Santa Barbara Rose Garden, which is world famous, helps me. And he said, oh, Patricia, your garden is so beautiful. And you can go onto my website, brag.com, and see some of my roses. And Daddy said that a rose is God's autograph of beauty, of fragrance, and love. So I want you all to get a big hug from me. And know that I have love for each one of you. Love is so important, so important. And you can read the Bragg books, and I'll be right with you in your home, helping you and guiding you, and I love doing it. And just like David Wolfe and all the others are devoted young men that are carrying the banner of the raw foods, and it's wonderful what they're doing. And I admire each one of you listening, that you are going to be 100% health crusaders with your family and your friends and everyone you meet. And thank you. Thank you for being part of this great crusade to make the world healthier. And I want you to know that life is precious, and it's up to you to be your own health captain and make the decision to stay healthy and youthful and active for a long, fruitful life. And thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Kevin Gianni. I'm your host for The Rockathon. And please be sure to pass this interview along to a friend or two who may need this message. Remember, you can find out more information about The Rockathon at www.rockathon.com. That's RAWKATHON.com. Take care and stay tuned for some more special bonuses.